But also, Brother Allen has been licensed to preach for how many years now, brother? 2, 3 years now. And it takes a number of opportunities to spread the gospel, to preach God's message of love and salvation, just wherever he gets the opportunity. I had the privilege of being with him when he went to First Baptist Church Center Star to speak to their youth, and he did a spectacular job, and I was sitting back there like a proud papa. Amen. I mean, I was just gloating almost. It was pretty sad, really. But anyway, but it was so awesome to see everybody coming up to him and just telling him and reminding him that he is anointed and that God has got his hand on him and that God is using him mightily. But, you know, he also coordinates and facilitates the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Lauderdale County. Does a great job there. But he's also one of ours. He's one of ours, and we look forward to hearing from God today through our brother. Alan's only 16 years old, and he just has this thirst to serve. He has this thirst to preach the gospel, and he's got a message in store for us this morning that I'm excited to hear, and I know you'll be blessed to hear. So if you would, give Brother Alan a hand and just let him know that we love him, okay, Brother Alan?
Big shoes to fill there. I just want to let you know that I'm nothing special. I'm just the vessel that God chooses to use, and I let him do it. So we're gonna do that. Today, I want to start off by asking you a question. And I'm pretty sure that everybody's already heard of it. But the question is, has you ever heard the statement that I will believe it when I see it? Has anybody ever heard that? I'll believe it when I see it? Well, did you know that statement in itself turns out to be a lie very often? And why, you may ask? Well, a couple of reasons, actually. The truth is that you and me, since we're humans, even though we know the truth, we're still going to do what we want sometimes.
That's right.
We already know what's right, so we're going to do it. And just a couple examples of this is, you know, you're having chest pains, and you don't know what to do about it, but we don't go to the doctor, and we definitely don't do what he says. You know, and you can't see sometimes, but when it comes time to put on your glasses and read, you don't know where they are, you know? And you have high cholesterol. Is anybody facing that? And you know what the doctor says to do, but you don't eat right. That's a problem. You know, sometimes we, in our lives, we're struggling. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. But you know what? We also won't take the time to pray about it.
Wow.
Sometimes we have questions. And you know what? The answers are right here.
Amen.
They're in the Word of God, but we refuse to read it. And another big one that's all for all of us and what's coming up is sharing your faith. Yes. You see, being a Christian, that should be our number one priority, is sharing the gospel.
Right.
Sharing what we know that Christ has done in our lives. But you know, sometimes we refuse to go out and witness. So what has God's Word already taught us about these simple truths? That even though we know the truth, sometimes we refuse to do it. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, just look at me when you're there. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5-13. Everybody there? All right, let's read. And it says this, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home. He's sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." And verse 8 says this, "The centurion answered and said, Lord," and listen to this, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but listen, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And listen to this. "When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And listen to this. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let us pray. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would just please come and meet with us today. Yes. Open our hearts, open our minds, and Lord, wherever we're failing with you today, may the words pierce our heart. God, may you use me as your mouthpiece and nothing more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turns out, you know, as just reading that, it turns out that God's word has given us three easy ways for believing Christ. And not only believing, but being able to put all of our faith into him. And as you see the title of the message today, believing just because he is there. Believing just because he is there. So today, three easy ways to put our faith in him. The first one is that we have to put our faith in Christ for our existence. We have to put our faith in Christ for our existence. Read verse 5 with me if you would. Chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him in verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. You see, you and I, we find ourselves in a generation. Today's society, in a generation where the answers, they're everywhere. The answers are everywhere. You have a problem, the answers are given. You see, the problem is there's so many religions. There's so many talk show hosts. There are so many things on the amazing World Wide Web, the internet, that we don't have to go anywhere but of a click of a button or just changing the channel, we'll find the answers. But what's the problem with that, right? Well, the problem is that with so many answers, only seldom few are true.
Right.
This centurion man, he came to Jesus even when the majority was that people weren't coming to Jesus for his healing. You see, Jesus had entered into this town, and there were probably a lot of people saying, Who is this guy? What can he do? But you know, the same is for us. The same is for us. That when the world is saying, Who is this Jesus you keep talking about? We have the answers. It's on the internet. It's on the television. It's on the news. We have the answers. You don't need that. But this centurion man, he knew where the truth lied. He knew where the truth was. He knew that Jesus had the answer. So what about us? Are we willing to go to Christ when it's not the popular thing to do? Are we able to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ when it's not what the world says that you should do? See, the American society has created a list for you and me. The American society of the United States of America today that we live in, this great country, it's set a couple of standards that you and I have to follow. You see, for one, this American society has told us who our friends should be. What kind of friends we should surround ourselves by. It has taught us what kind of car you and I must drive. The society has decided that the clothes that are in fashion of what you and I should wear. This America that we live in has also decided the way that you must look. It's decided what kind of hair products you should use. It's decided of what kind of figure your body should have. And our society has also decided what kind of house that you should live in. And another one is what kind of family lifestyle that your family should have. Just by turning on the TV, just by getting on the internet, and just by being around other people in this world that live in this country, America has given us a standard to live by. But let me ask you a question. With such a knowing society and with all the answers out there, where is it exactly that Jesus is able to take part in your life? Think about that. Where exactly is it that Jesus has part to take in your life? Even as Christians, the Bible seems sometimes to be a silly source for our answers. You know, just by turning on the television, one is able to see that today's society is not a Christ-centered one. We are easily able to see that Christ is not the number one priority in the lifestyle of America. So here's a question for you. Even though as the years have passed, right, and even though Jesus Christ has been in America, it was founded on the fathers of, on the Bible, America and the church, they've always been together. And you know, I would even go too far to say that God has been in this country, you know, ever since his existence. But where does it come in the problem that since God is in our country, there's still an evolving process of sin and corruption? It keeps happening. Even though I could say that God has probably been in the midst of this country ever since its existence, corruption is still an evolving process that keeps happening every single day. It keeps happening, and sin in the lives of Christians is a problem. You see, as human beings, sin is there. But for you and me, as being Christians, there's still a problem that sin lies there in our lives. And every day, Satan, every single day, he tries to create a new way. Every single day, Satan tries to find out something new to come into our lives, to come in and find ways to ruin us. Did you know that Satan's main intent is to destroy? Did you know that Satan's main intent is to come into our lives and everything that we think we have built up, the foundations, his main intent is to destroy that? And you know what the sad part is? You know what the real sad part is? Is that we allow Satan to take part in our lives. With Satan's main intent, with the sleazy and just nasty devil's main intent to come in and destroy us, we allow him to take part in our lives. Let me ask you a question. If this is today's society, and if this is exactly what's already happening, what's it going to look like from 10 years from now? What will the church look like 20 years from now? I'm not talking about the sin in the lives of normal people. I'm talking about the sin that lies inside the Christian's heart. You know, the ones that you and I, we've already accepted Christ. And we know what's right, but we are allowing Satan to come in into our churches. We're allowing him to come into our lives. Where's the church going to be in 20 years? Will Jesus even matter? Will Jesus even matter in our lives? Let's go back to the Word. We learn about this centurion man, right? Well, he also found himself in a country where everybody had the answers. We, right now, are creating the foundation of our future. And also the centurion man, he realized that where he had to go and what he had to do to get the right answer he needed. So putting down everything else, he reached forward and he went to Jesus. We must also realize that Jesus is the only one that holds the power and the success and everything that you and I need. He is the awesome. He is the sustainer. He is the one that has the answers when we don't know where to go. Christ is the only one that can fulfill our wants, that can fulfill our needs. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about my day-to-day life, just me personally. How many things in my life, if that I wasn't careful, could become my God? You see, I own a cell phone. I play athletics. I drive a car. I try to make good grades. And you see, I is in each single one of those sentences. Put your eye in front of that. What are you doing today? And I want you to think about this. Think about the things that you allow into your life that could easily become your God. And when I say your God, I just simply mean that can take the place of God. What can take the place of you spending more time doing that instead of reading your Bible? What kind of music do you put in your head instead of listening to the one that uplifts the praises that go to God? And thinking about all those things, we must realize that Christ is the only satisfier. The Son of God is the only one that can come in and fulfill what we want. Because we keep covering our hearts, we keep covering ourselves with possessions. We just keep wanting. But the Son of God is the only satisfier. And I'm going to tell you something, and maybe you didn't know this, and maybe you do. But how many of us in here know that human life is based on routine? It's based on habit. Does anybody in here have a daily routine they go through? Be honest. You wake up in the morning, you do the same thing at the same time. You eat at the same time. You take your medication at the same time. You go to the grocery store and get your shopping done the same day of the week, the same time. You and I, we're designed to be running on routine. Think about it. Most of us have something we do every day, and that's our routine. Well, here you go. It's not too hard. The Christian life is also based on routine. The Christian life is also based on an everyday habit. But ours should be an everyday habit of trust. What habits have we created, though, that instead of trusting in God, what have we created, you and I? What have we created that are not habits of Christian traits? Our words, our actions, the things that you and I think, they're all a reflection, if not to somebody else, but to ourselves, of how much we allow Christ to take part in our lives. And I was thinking about this also. If you and I were to just go through the day and make a list of everything that we did, and you were supposed to grade yourself, what would you line up with having a true relationship with Jesus Christ? Does he come in the top of your day, or is he just something you try to fit in? You and I are a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are a new creation. And we're called to live like it. Mm. We're called to be that change. So it's important to realize that every single decision we make is a reflection of our Savior.
Amen.
Having faith in Christ is the first step to climb. But what exactly is it that we have to do to actually have him react to our faith? Let's read in the Word. Verses 6 through 10. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and I will heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say, goeth, say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. The first thing I believe that God wishes us to get from this small part segment of Scripture, is not that the fact that this man was coming to Jesus for somebody, but that he was coming to Jesus for a servant. A servant. In this society, a servant was not something we would think that somebody, they come and they just help. They were a slave. This centurion man came to Jesus Christ for his slave. In that society, a slave was of the lowest. Of the lowest. And this man, a leader of the people, comes to Jesus. Others have been coming to Jesus for the healing of their friends. People have been coming to Jesus for answers of questions. People have been coming to Jesus just to want to know, what must I do to follow you? What must I do to be a follower of God? But you see, this man, he came, even though he was a leader, he was a general. A centurion is a general over 100 soldiers. He came to Jesus on the behalf of a slave. So I ask you a question. Who in your life seems to be undeserving enough to not go to Jesus for? Who in your life today that you can think of right now, you know they need Christ in their life, you know that they need to have an awakening through the Holy Spirit and through the blood that was shed for their sins? Who do you know, but who is undeserving enough that you wouldn't go to Christ for them? A man would go for a slave, but you and I would seldom to think to go for our closest neighbors. And as I say that, I want you to think about GPS coming up. I really hope you take into consideration of what God has called us to do as Christians. You see, our Christian duty, whether you know it or not, is to spread the gospel. Our duty is to spread the gospel of Christ. But how many times have we neglected to pray for someone that needs Christ, but rather we worry about what you and I are going through? Mm. Well, God, you know I got these bills I got to pay. God, you know that I'm really trying to serve you, but my schedule's really just covered up right now. God, I really do want to become part of your Awana program, but I don't have time on Wednesday nights to spend with a bunch of noisy kids. You see, it's so easy to make some excuses. It's so easy to put things in front of God. But you and I are called to share the gospel. Yes. And you know what a main problem is? Is that sometimes that I think, and that I've seen in the lives of Christians, and in my own life too, is that you and I sometimes think that the reason that Jesus came and died was just for us to get out of hell free card. Sometimes I believe that Christians mistake that Christ coming and freely giving his life was just so you and I don't have to go to hell. But the reason that Jesus Christ came and died is because he wanted a relationship with his people.
Amen.
And that it's it's our job to spread the gospel. But isn't that a sad way to live a life? Just knowing that we're saved and that's it, just getting by. We don't want to grow in Christ. We don't want to have a relationship with him. We just want to know that when our day's done and if we don't wake up in the morning, we know where we're going. That's a sad way to live a Christian life because we have so much to offer. We have so much to give. Getting saved and that's it is a sad way to live a Christian life. The truth is really that Christ saved us, and that you and I should be concerned with the souls around us.
Yes.
And I'm saying all this to lead up to one point, is that we are told to come to Christ in this word. This story, this example of a centurion man, the whole entire sum of it is that this man came to Jesus. But what we first must do is that we must humble ourselves to have him hear us. We must humble ourselves. We must abase ourselves and forget about who we think we are and realize that who Christ knows who he is.
Right.
He came and he died for you. Your place has been paid for. But I want you to think about this as Jesus saw the centurion man coming. He saw the true picture of love, that a leader, a centurion general, a man over many, got many men in the army, in the military, he would come. And he would come for his slave. Jesus saw a picture of love. And why does this mean so much? Because I believe Jesus Christ could relate with it. You see, Jesus was also about to partake in that he was going to give himself. He was going to humble himself. And that when no one had anybody to go for them, as this slave had nobody to go for him, no one to go on his part, the centurion came for his slave. And when you and I had no one to go for us, when we had no way to pay for our sins, Jesus went for us.
Hallelujah.
Jesus went for us. The next thing we see here is that Jesus hears this complaint. He hears this problem, and he says, I'm going to come. I'll come and heal him. But yet, the centurion man finds himself unworthy. He says, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. He says, I say, go and these people go. I say, come and my servants, they come. Lord, I'm also a man under authority. I have people at my word. But you, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. So what does that mean? Well, I think that we should take in consideration that this centurion realized he wasn't worthy. But you and I think that since we're Christians, we think that Jesus is there for the ride. We don't have to humble ourselves. We just know that Jesus is the snap of our fingers and he's going to be there. You see, you and I, we don't have to read his word. Because we know that when we get in trouble, Jesus is going to be there. You see, that's why our Christian faith sometimes just doesn't work. That's why the world sometimes looks at us and they say, man, that's a gimmick. That is not true because of the Christian people. But I want to praise the people here at Bethel. I want to tell you that I've seen your faith because I've been here for a little while with y'all. And I want to share with you, just by being part of this group, I know that I've seen some individuals grow. Yes. And there's some people in here that I've told you lately that I've seen you grow. But you know, for us to become a stronger church in this area, we're going to have to learn how to humble ourselves. Yes. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus the King that we find ourselves bowing before? Or is he just the answer to our problems? Is he just the one that we go to when we're in a struggle? Or is Christ the one that we humble ourselves before? Christ went to his Father for you. So thinking about that and thinking about these things, we can learn a very valuable lesson today. That Christ, he came and he paid for our sins. This centurion man has taught us everything that we need to know about Christ when it comes to humbling ourselves. Is that to realize that you and I, we're in a place and position that we're unworthy to have Christ come into our lives. We're unworthy that we should even have Christ to come under our roof. But yet, we are not worthy of the Son of God because Christ has came. And he said, hey, I want to give my life for you. Christ has paid that. So unworthy, yes. But when we humble ourselves and come to Christ, unheard, no. God hears us because we humble ourselves. Because we humble ourselves, we receive the same opportunity as this leader. God hears us. So putting our faith in Christ for our existence and humbling our heart so that he may hear us. But what exactly makes us noticeable to Christ? How are we recognized? I'm not talking about as a church. I'm talking about as an individual. How does Christ recognize us? How do we appear to him? Read verse 11 and 13 with me, if you would. 11 through 13. This is Jesus. He says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. I want to let you know something this morning. That we are not chosen because we're good people. We are not chosen because we have the answers. But we are chosen because of our faithfulness. Having faith in Christ. Jesus states in verse 11 that people will come from all over the world, from the east and the west. They will come and they will come and sit in the kingdom of heaven. But the already chosen will be cast out in the outer darkness. What does that mean to us? We see Jesus here, he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about his chosen people that God has chosen. But you know what? They did not accept Christ when he first came. They would not accept the Christ coming. They would not accept the sacrifice that was given. But God is here to tell us today, the Word of God is here to tell us, that because we humble ourselves, we are adopted into this family.
Amen.
We are adopted into this family because of our faithfulness. You see, when we, through faith in Christ, accept the invitation to this royal family, we are acknowledged by God. The blood of Christ covers our sins.
Yes.
I would say that Christ recognizes us not by our faces, but by the amount of trust that can be seen in our faith. God recognizes us by his Son. And our identity in Christ then becomes how we are recognized by others. People know who we are. Jesus said in his word that people will know who you are because you love one another. We are known by our faith. The blood of Christ covers our sins. So Christ is our identity when we stand before God. Christ, his blood, is our identity of how God recognizes us. Let me tell you this, that he not only hears us, but he recognizes our faith. So what does this mean to us? The Christian people, what does this have anything to do with us? Well, I'm here to tell you that today, that your relationship, the way that you spend your time with Jesus Christ, that is your identity with God. He knows you by your faith. He knows you by the way you trust in him. So when it comes down to it, we are identified because of our faith in Christ. Question. So how is Jesus recognizing you today? Does Jesus Christ have the relationship in knowing that you put all your faith and all of your trust in him? Does Christ recognize you by knowing that no matter what you go through or no matter what you face, that your complete trust is in him? Or does Christ recognize you as the one that just took the blood and accepted it, but you're still worrying about everything? You don't have your trust put in him. You don't have your faith fully given. By the faith you've entirely put in him, or by the disbelief that you show that he cannot be your everything? One question, does God know who you are because of your unbreakable faith? Or does he know you because of the disbelief that you have over and over again invested into him? So in conclusion today, I want to say a couple things. As we end the service today, let us all take a moment for us to take some time and search out our hearts to see if we can find anything that we haven't fully given to Christ. Our faith is our identity with Christ. Our faith is what gets us to have Christ to even notice us. Is us saying that we want to humble ourselves and come before the throne. And knowing that we don't have the answers, we want to put our faith in Christ. Maybe you're here today and you know Christ. You've given your life to him. You've accepted him as your Savior. But maybe today, he's been your Savior, but you haven't given him the chance to be your Lord. Mm. Is Christ your number one? Maybe you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, but you haven't given him the chance to be Lord of your life. Or just maybe you know that you're sitting here, you know that you're in the church, and you're hearing about this man Christ, that he came and he died and he paid for your sins, but you don't know what to do with that. You don't know how that applies to you. I want to enlighten you that when you're born into this earth, when you're born in this world, there is a distance, a separation between you and God. And you can't get there. Why? Because you and I, we were born into a world of sin. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you told a lie, you're a liar. If you've ever stole even the simplest thing, a little piece of bubble gum, you're a thief. It's in our nature to sin. But Christ, he came and he lived the same exact life that you and I live. He faced the same temptations. He went through the same hardships. He went through the same blistering heat. He went through the same kind of cold. He knows what it felt like to be hungry. He knows what it feels like to be tired. He knew what discouragement felt like. But Christ, living a blameless life, he came and he freely gave his life so that you and I could accept the blood that was shed. And what does that have to do with Christ just dying if he didn't rise again?
Right.
You see, on the third day, Jesus Christ rose again.
Amen.
And having faith in that, Christ becomes our Savior.
Mm.
Or maybe your category here today is you just need to have more faith in God. Not because of what he can do in your life. Not have faith in him just because he can give you the things you need, or that he can heal your problems, heal your sickness. But maybe you need to come to God and put more faith in him simply because he is here.
Right.
And he is waiting. I want to tell you something. That your price has been paid.
Amen.
Your part in heaven has been paid for. In the very moment that you accept Christ into your life, your mansion is being built. And if you're not accepting Christ for the first time, accept this, the invitation to have a closer relationship with Christ.
Yes.
So today, as we've learned about a centurion man that came for his slave, we've learned about a man that would come, and we've learned about somebody that would humble themselves before Jesus Christ, that he would come even when the world said it wasn't the popular thing to do. We learned about this man that he would come for his slave, and that he, realizing that he was over authority, he would humble himself and say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. And he takes his time to go out and explain to Christ that everything that he has control over. These men, I say go and they go. I say come and they come. But he humbled himself. And not because of this man's righteousness was he heard, but by his humbleness was he heard. So I want to invite you today. Just as the centurion did, let us make it a point to go to God on the behalf of others. As GPS is coming, I want to make it a point in my life personally to go to Christ for others. In prayer, spending my time walking up and down streets and knocking on doors, and just simply living the example that it takes for people to want to know who this Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
One last question today. How serious is the matter of people not accepting Jesus to you? How serious is it to you to know that you've accepted Christ, but there are people in your life that have not? How serious is that to you? As you can tell, we all have something to do in today's service. We each have a decision to make. There's some people here that are going to say, I don't want a part of this, and you're just going to ignore it. There's others here today that are going to say, hey, I hear what you're saying. I know I need to have more faith in Christ, but I don't know where to go. Come and pray about it. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, hey, I know Christ. I know he's my Savior. But I need to make him Lord.
Yes.
Or maybe you're here today and you don't know who Christ is as your Savior. You don't really understand what I mean by saying that Christ can come into your heart. Make the decision today. But I leave you with this. We all have room for change.
Yes.
And even when you and I think that we can't handle it, God, Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed, Christ can be the change that you cannot make in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your just blessing opportunity. Father, I pray for humbleness in our lives. I pray that we would do things to be part of your plan. That God, no matter what we say or no matter what we do, Lord, but we are seen as an example. God, thank you for just letting us come into your house this morning. Father, I pray that as decisions are made today, Lord, maybe we just need to bring you closer to our hearts. Maybe you need to become Lord. But Father, whatever we face or whatever we go through, God, help us to be able to go to you. So Father, hear our prayer today. Help us to make decisions for you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
The altar is open this morning. For whatever decision you have to make this morning, if you just need to come and pray, please come. Let's all stand.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever
church family. Everybody knows Miss Betty, Miss Betty McCafferty, and she's just a jewel in my eyes. She's been joining us for some time, and she requested to join Bethel Baptist Church family by baptism, by statement of faith. And I just want to ask you, if you rejoice with me in receiving Miss Betty, would you let it be known by saying hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I guess it's unanimous, sister. You officially are part of us now, but she always has been. Make sure that you come and give Miss Betty the right hand of familyship. Let her know that you're going to be praying with her and praying for her. And we just look forward to what God's going to use this priceless gift of God in our church and in our community. So make sure you come and hug her neck and tell her how much you love her. And if there's ever anyone else that has a decision to make for the Lord Jesus, if there's an issue of recommitment, if there's a desire to join our church family, if there's anything on your heart, friend, you need to know that that God wants you to speak up about that. You can speak to me, you can speak to Brother Allen, any one of our brothers and sisters in Christ here. They stand ready and willing to do and help you in any way they can. So I'm just thankful that we are all in God's house together. Has it been a joy for you too? Let them be able to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Allen, I thank you for that message. I thank you for blessing us like that, brother. And I pray that we'll all step up our faith. That we'll all just sink our teeth in, so to speak, into the Lord's work. Looking forward to what God's going to do through us. So y'all come and give Miss Betty the right hand of fellowship, and we'll see you on the way.
All right. Thanks. Yes.
5:30 tonight.
5:30 tonight.
Mm-hmm. It may not be as good as Brother Allen's, but I'm going to try. Amen. It's hard to follow them steps. Amen.
All right. Brother Allen, so proud of you. So proud of all of our young people. We just have a great group of young people. And if there's nothing else, remember at 5:30 tonight, come on back for the rest of your blessing. Is there anything else before we go?
Yes, sir.